Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants." This is our text. Why did Jesus come? For what purpose did he live, die, rise, and ascend to the Father's right hand? We believe that he did it for the church. And yet we should be clear what we mean by the church. It wasn't because Jesus loved church buildings and wanted lots of them that he came, lived, and died, and rose again. Beautiful architecture didn't seem to impress him. You might recall at one point when he visited the temple, he talked about how one stone would not be left upon another. And he never once expressed a desire to have buildings named after himself. Why did Jesus come? It wasn't because he loved crowds and wanted to start a social movement. Of course, we know there were many crowds that followed him, at least up until Gethsemane. But he could have had larger crowds. He could have kept them longer if he wanted to, if he'd been willing to give them what they were asking for, more miracles, easier teachings, if he'd gotten with the times. Why did Jesus come? It wasn't because he loved the worship, liturgy, and hymns that we love. He said that a time was coming when people would worship the Father in spirit and truth, but he didn't give the apostles a church order to follow, vestments to wear, or a hymnal to use. Why did Jesus come? It wasn't because he loved founding institutions or denominations. He never filled out a 501c3 form or incorporated with the state. Nor did he give directions on how to do that. He didn't set out to establish the church in that way, not even the Lutheran Church or our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, don't misunderstand. I don't mean that Jesus was against any of these things. He's not against church buildings or congregations or divine worship or even denominations. All of these are important. They're necessary for the life of the church. They exist for good reasons. There's a whole history and tradition behind these things. We Christians live in particular times and places, and our life together has a particular shape and form. All of those things can help serve the main purpose for which Jesus came, but they are not the main purpose. If we become only focused on the buildings or our gathering or all of these things, then we've missed out on why Jesus came. The world may think of the building as the church, but that's not what we mean. Why did Jesus come? He came to plant a kingdom. Very simply, he came to plant a kingdom. That's how he describes his purpose, his work, planting seed, seeing it grow, and finally gathering it in. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He scatters seed, and what does the man do? He sleeps, he rises, night and day. As he goes to bed, as he gets up, what happens? What happens apart from him, not by his own doing? It's not just day after day after day, but the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The experience that you and I might have, perhaps especially with weeds in our gardens these days. Where did that come from? The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And then what? When the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, for the harvest has come. This is how Jesus speaks about his kingdom, as seed being scattered. He doesn't express any anxiety or any worry about this kingdom. He knows how things work far better than we do. He believes in what he's doing. He believes in what he's doing, even though what he's doing will lead to a cross. He has the confidence and the trust of a man who scatters seed and then sleeps well. Father, he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. I've scattered the seed. My work is done. It is finished. And he trusted that what he'd been told would happen, that seed would sprout and grow. Do we have the same trust? Do we trust that God's word will really seed faith among us? And if we do, then why don't we make more use of that word? Do we trust that it will cause faith to grow and bear fruit? That it will produce good works and a harvest of righteousness? That it will do this not only in your life, but in the lives of those you love, your children and grandchildren and friends? Plant the seed. That's what Jesus does. Plant the seed. He plants the kingdom through his own teaching, through the gift of baptism. He sustains that seed and makes it grow through his word and the gift of Holy Communion, and it does grow mysteriously, gradually, even predictably. The kingdom grows. But I know how it is because I feel it myself as well. So often we doubt the effectiveness of God's word. We get impatient. We get frustrated. It doesn't work quickly enough for us. We don't see the results in ourselves or in others that we want or that we expect. It's our own lack of faith that leads us to look for something else, to look for something better, to look for something different than Jesus and his word. Is that why we neglect the scriptures and so often turn to other things? Is it because we believe all these other things, sports, politics, work, whatever, is it because we believe these things are more important, more real, more beneficial for us? Or do we turn to other things because we like to be entertained or distracted or even worked up? Yeah, I know what happens when we watch all of the network news. And it's true. Watching plants grow isn't all that exciting. It's certainly not as exciting as cheering on a three-pointer or a home run or your favorite politician. But the kingdom of God is not like hitting a home run or making a three-pointer. It is like scattering seed. All those other things will pass away, but the kingdom of God will remain. It will remain forever. The thing that Jesus is about is not something that comes or goes or is here today and gone tomorrow. He is about a kingdom that has no end. And Jesus predicts that the future of that kingdom, though hidden now, is glorious. He knows what power lies within the seed, the power of God to make it grow. For him, the harvest is never in doubt. We wonder what the outcome will be, but he knows. He knows there will be a great and abundant harvest. He knows because Jesus is the one who died that we might live. Jesus is the one who died for all so that we have all died in him. He is the one who died for all so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but live for him who for our sake died and rose again. This is how St. Paul describes us. He says that in Christ we are a new creation. In Christ we are a people gathered by that good news of what he has done. We are the people who have been claimed by Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and now exalted at the right hand of the Father. We confess that Jesus is Lord, and we do this in the face of the world, our enemies, those who oppose us, or even simply those who don't believe what we believe. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and this is why he came, to be your Lord, and to gather a people who confess him as Lord, and that's who we are. Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. It looks like nothing. The kingdom of God looks weak. It looks powerless. It appears to hold no promise, and its beginning is insignificant. And yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches. It becomes a tree that fills the earth so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." We marvel at the way the world works. We look at an acorn and marvel that it can become an oak. We look at a helicopter in the fall and marvel that it becomes a maple. Jesus points to the mustard seed, so small, yet so powerful. And he sees there an image of the kingdom of God. From tiny beginnings, it will grow into something large. From tiny beginnings, it will benefit people around the world and down through history. It's as if Jesus 2,000 years ago could look ahead and see what would become of the movement that began with him and the movement that is centered on him. As he saw the branches reaching out, extending around the world to provide refuge for many. That is what we have in Christ. He is a refuge for the weary. He is a fortress for those who are in trouble. We find peace and hope, forgiveness and life beneath his branches, under the shadow of his wings, underneath the arms of his cross. There is your hope, and there is your life, dear Christian. And we invite others to do the same. Week after week, we gather here. We gather with our hurts and our hopes. We gather with our confusions and our doubts. We gather with our faith and the temptations that are pulling us away. We gather because Christ is here, because the seed is being planted and nurtured and growing, because this is where birds of the air find refuge in his branches. The world will not love us, we know that. Perhaps we felt it, but here we have the love of Christ, our Savior. Jesus is the seed planted in the womb of Mary. He is the one who grew up into the tree of the cross with branches that stretch across the world. Like a mustard seed whose flavor is released when it's crushed, so Jesus chose to have his body crushed in the mortar of the Passion, so that the strong flavor of his eternal life might flavor and preserve us all. What is the church? It's not just the building, not just the congregation, not just the ritual or the institution. It's the rest and protection that we find together in Christ. We gather under the safety of his forgiveness. We gather in the peace of his victory over the devil. We gather in the promise of life and resurrection. And we invite others to gather with us. How might we as a congregation show that Jesus is this tree in whom we find rest and shelter and protection? We can invite others to join us because he would gather others with us. He would welcome here our family and our friends and our neighbors into his kingdom. He would invite all the birds of the air to nest in the shade of his kingdom. A kingdom that's found not only here at our Savior, but a kingdom that is spread around the world. Not only in our church body, not only in our country, but in community after community where Christ is present, there is his kingdom. Where his word is being taught, there the seed is being planted and grows. And it is a comfort for us to know the church is bigger than us. We here, we are one small branch. One small branch of a plant that's still growing and spreading. One small branch of a tree that is gathering birds from all over, people to nest in his shelter. The church is as big as the salvation won by Jesus. The church is as big as his love, how deep and wide and high and broad. Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. There is the place of rest. What a comfort it is to know that God has provided not only for us, but for people around the world in many nations in his kingdom. And I want to speak just for a moment to fathers, or to those who one day will be fathers. Because fathers, this is the kind of home that you seek also to provide for your family. This is the kind of shelter that you want to find, not only in the church, but in the home that you provide. A home where your loved ones and friends can find shelter in Christ, where they can find refuge in his forgiveness, where they can have peace in his promises. Cultivate that kind of home, that kind of place, that kind of life and community. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Read his word, pray, sing, give thanks, and encourage your family in Christ. May he be the center of our homes and of our church. And this is where it's headed. This is what lies ahead. This is how God's word paints the future. He describes it as all kinds of birds nesting in the shade of a mighty cedar tree. Those were Ezekiel's words. People from every corner and every age gathering to Christ and sheltering in him. He describes it as a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, the heavenly dwelling that we long to put on and be part of. He describes it like this, as when the grain is ripe and the sickle is pulled out and the harvest is come. Dear friends, Christ has promised. He has promised that his seed planted will grow, and he has promised that what grows will be harvested. We look ahead to that harvest. We thank and praise him for the growth, and we pray to him now. Lord, as you have begun the good work of planting your kingdom in our world, among us and even in us, so preserve your church, cause her to grow, make her healthy, produce fruit, and do it in each one of us, that we might come at last to the full and glorious harvest. In Jesus' name.